Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome in. It is Overtime, 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer with you until 10 o'clock. Got a full runway tonight to talk about plenty of things. Want to get into some Jaden Daniels discussion, talk about some ways that I think this team can help him going into next year. Mitch Tischler from Monumental going to join the program coming up at 7:15. Want to get his thoughts on the offensive line, what we've seen from them this year, Laremy Tunsil. How much do you need to pay him? How much do you need to get that deal? Like, how good has he been this year? I have a feeling he's going to say he's been pretty good and probably advocate similar to me, just get the deal done, whatever the price tag is. Get this thing over with before training camp. Unlike the Terry situation, don't let this one linger. But we'll talk to Mitch Tischler coming up at 7:15. Also want to get his thoughts on Josh Connerly, but we'll talk to Mitch coming up at 7:15. Want to talk about Jaden, as I mentioned. At 8 o'clock, did your opinion on him change a little bit with how this season has gone? Do you feel a little bit different? Is it just a bad year, though? Is it just something that he'll bounce back next year? We'll take a look at the NFL playoff picture as well and some of the moves that were made across the NFL with quarterbacks, Tua Tagovailoa going to the bench, as well as looking around the NFL at teams that are going to need a quarterback next year. What are they going to do? What are some of the moves, and how can that affect what happens in the draft for the Commanders? And also want to get into the college football playoff discussion if we have some time for that. But want to start on the diamond. The Nationals have a new general manager, and some of you are going to go, well, I thought they already had their head guy. No, they still have their head guy. Paul Tomboni is going to be the president of baseball operations. He is the president of baseball operations. He's running the whole thing. We were wondering if there was going to be a general manager hired under him. We're wondering if there was going to be someone that would work underneath him in that general manager role. And I honestly was thinking that that wasn't going to be the case. I was thinking that he was just going to be in charge and he might have some people work with him, but I didn't think that he was going to hire a general manager. We find out basically about 45 minutes ago or so that they have hired a general manager, and it's kind of fitting. It kind of goes along with the rest of their hires. They've gone with young guys. Young guys. At some point, I'll have to see if I can find the ages of all of these guys, but it is insane. A prerequisite, generally, when you're hiring guys, is you like experience. You like guys that are a little bit older. Not necessarily saying they're 60, 70, 80. I'm not trying to say that's anything wrong with that either. But generally, you want to get some people that have a little more experience in the game. Hasn't necessarily been the case this year. They are hiring guys that are all in their 30s. Essentially, all of the guys they're hiring this year are in their 30s, which is crazy to think about. And look, I'm excited about the direction that they're going with the franchise. But I also don't want to be blind to the fact that, you know, some things could go wrong here. I mean, you're hiring a bunch of young guys. Teams don't generally go this far in on whether they're going with a youth movement, they're trying to influx a different type of vision, whatever it may be. Teams don't generally go full in like this, like you're seeing this year. But I don't have an issue with it. But before we just all jump them, clap like seals, as Grant would say, and are so thrilled about this, I do want to see some success on the field. I want to see how it plays out. And what's been interesting is you've seen Paul Tomboni make a couple of moves already, making some trades. I like the Ferrer move to go get Harry Ford. I like this move, you know, to trade Jake Bennett to go get Luis Perales from the Boston Red Sox, who he's obviously familiar with. So I like a lot of what they're doing. But I do want to see how it plays out on the field. That's going to take a little bit of time for you can really evaluate those things. But I'm excited to see where it's going to go. But to see the team just go full in like they're doing, you got to give them credit. You got to give them credit. And it's a credit to the Nationals. It's a credit to the ownership that they're willing to let this guy take free rein and go do what he wants to do. Go hire the guys that he wants to hire. Because in general, you know, a team might want to have a little bit more say in these sorts of things and say, hey, maybe we could consider, you know, let's get a little more experience here. Let's get a little bit more of a different sort of voice. But what they've gone all in on is they're going to get guys that have an analytics background. And it's going to be a big change from what we've seen from this team in the past. Not to say that analytics weren't a part of the decision-making that they had in the past, but it is going to play a major role in the way that they conduct their business going forward, whether it's in the front office or whether it's in player development, whether it's in player acquisition, or even as a manager, right? Blake Butera and what he's going to do. It's going to factor in a lot more in terms of the analytics and that sort of approach. And I'm curious to see how it plays out. You know, it is a much more modern approach to the game. Doesn't necessarily mean that it's the right approach. And so it's going to be something that we're going to have to evaluate over the next couple of years. But I appreciate in sports when you can see what someone's trying to do and you can follow along with the thought process, even if you disagree, by the way. But you can at least see the thought process and you can see it executed. And there's no way that you look at the Nationals right now and you can't see what their thought process is and you can't see that it's being executed. You might disagree with it, by the way. That's totally fine. But you can see what they're trying to do. They're trying to get a more modern organization. They're trying to get guys that are maybe more on the come up than guys that are already highly thought of in terms of being in these positions and having them be the highly respected guys that maybe cost a little bit more money. I don't think this is also, I know some people when Toboni was hired or some of the other guys that have been hired, maybe not Toboni specifically, but like Butera as the manager and others, they're like, oh, Nat's cheaping out. No. I don't think they're cheaping out on any of this. But I do think what they're getting is, you know, it's similar to Toboni in a lot of ways with the way that he was talked about. People around the league are like, oh, he's going to be a fantastic general manager someday. And maybe there's still some seasoning that needs to be put on these guys, and these guys need to have a little bit more experience. But if he's going to be a fantastic general manager in 3, 4, 5 years, why not see what he can do right now? Similar to what, you know, Josh Connerly on the football field is an example I think of this year for the Commanders, where last year in the draft process, people were saying, if this guy were to come out the following year in the next draft, he's probably a top 10 guy. Well, you take him then and you see some of the growth and some of the things, and some people are saying he's terrible. I think he's actually improved, and we'll talk a little bit more about the offensive line for the Commanders in a little bit. But, you know, if a guy is going to be good in 4 or 5 years, you can be first on the scene about it. You can be a little bit early on it, and it might blow up in your face. It might also be a genius approach where if you get all these guys together and they're all as smart as so many people around the industry seem to think that they are, then you can see results, you can see a difference made. And so it's going to be an interesting thing to see with this front office and what some of the decisions they're going to make. How does it tangibly feel different than what happened before? Want to talk a bit more about the Nationals. At 7 o'clock, we'll get into the Commanders. But want to talk a little bit more about the Nationals and some of the moves we could see coming down the road the rest of this offseason. We'll talk about that next. Toby Altizer with you here on Overtime on the Fan, taking you up until 10 o'clock.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, Join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Metal Chris? Christmas Chris?
I figured you'd dig the holiday music. You're always in holiday sweaters this time of year.
I am. I mean, if you play Christmas music the rest of the way, that's totally fine with me.
We might do that.
I'm rocking a Nationals Christmas sweater, ready to roll. Earlier this week, I was wearing a Redskins Santa hat. I was wearing, what was I wearing earlier in the week? I was wearing a Bucky's Christmas sweater earlier in the week.
Yeah, I was there for that one. I saw that.
Last Friday, I wore an ugly Christmas sweater with Grant and Danny on it.
That was amazing.
I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to wear on Friday. I've got a couple more that I can roll through. Last Friday, I wore a Christmas sweater with Rudolph and some trees and different things on it. That one was a real one, by the way. That was an actual sweater.
Yeah.
The rest of these are just like printed on sweatshirts.
Printed on sweatshirts, yeah.
Yeah, like I got one more sweater.
The real sweaters are the real deal.
Yeah, so I got one more sweater. Maybe I break that out on Friday. I'm not sure. But
I got a holiday shirt I'll be wearing for you on Friday.
I love it.
When we're out on location with G&D.
I love it. I was pitching some ideas to you on shirts to wear or whatnot, but I appreciate that. I'm a big... Where does Christmas rank for you in terms of holidays? That's my number one.
I mean, Halloween's my one seed. It always will be.
Okay.
But I don't. Christmas is pretty high up there. My birthday is around the holidays, so I don't know. I just kind of like this time of year and stuff. And,
yeah, of course.
I don't love the cold. I actually really want to take the kids one year somewhere in like, I don't know, Brazil or Australia and do like a summer Christmas one year.
I've done one of those before.
I think it'd be fun
it's
with the
weird.
Kids. Yeah,
I think I don't really like it.
Go hit the beach and go to, on Christmas Day. Like that just sounds amazing to me.
I don't really like it. I've done it.
I don't know, man. I want to make
different.
A snowman out of sand. I don't know. I think it's going to be cool.
Yeah, Sandman. No, it is fun. It is fun. I love Christmas. I love this time of year. I do wish it would warm up a little bit. I think I might do a first this year and go watch some football on Christmas this year. I know it's not a great game.
I'm an NBA stan still on Christmas.
I generally am too, but Washington plays on Christmas this year. I'm hoping. I know some people are lose out. Look. Logically, you're probably correct. Watching them play the Eagles and the Cowboys and the Eagles again, I ain't rooting for those teams, man. I can't. It'd be a little bit different if we were worried about trying to get a quarterback. I ain't worried about the quarterback. We'll talk more about Jaden coming up at 8 o'clock. But yeah, I ain't worried about the quarterback. So I'm going to have a tough time rooting against Washington going forward for the final three games. But thinking about trying to go out to Northwest Stadium on Christmas Day. Should be a fun one to watch the Commanders and the Cowboys. Real quick, though, wrapping up the Nationals discussion before we get back into the Commanders at 7 o'clock. Mitch Tischler going to join us at 7:15. Some of the moves that you could see this offseason still, this is what's going to be interesting for me going forward with how they're going to approach this offseason. Mackenzie Gore likely going to get traded this offseason. For people that check out Bustin' Loose Baseball with me and Grant Paulson. For people that have listened to me talk about Mackenzie Gore trades in the past here on The Fan, I wasn't a fan of it at the trade deadline. And the reason being, I wanted a guy to be in charge, a definitive guy to be in charge. I didn't want an interim general manager. Not that I didn't trust DeBartolo, but I didn't want an interim general manager trading away your ace. Now you've got guys in charge. So I would be looking to shop around because I do think it makes sense in terms of your timeline. You got two more years of control with Mackenzie Gore. Nationals likely aren't competitive for a playoff spot, or even if they are, they're not likely to compete for a World Series the next 2 years. So for me, moving Mackenzie Gore makes all the sense in the world this offseason. I'm curious the package that you can get for Gore. Young lefty, some of the best stuff in the game. There's still some inconsistencies there, but I love watching Mackenzie pitch. One of my favorite guys on the team. I think he's got an ace mentality. I think you can get a lot for him. And I think teams around the league look at him and they think that maybe through some shortcomings of the national staff, if they think so or whatever, maybe I think they look at some of the numbers with him. And I think they feel like if they can get him inside their building, they can turn this guy into a bona fide ace stud. And I think he's shown the capability. It's just about getting some of that consistency and then longevity of being able to do it throughout the entire season. But I do think Mackenzie Gore is going to get traded. The interesting part is, are there going to be other guys traded? Ryan and I were talking about this a little bit earlier today before Danny tried to kill us with a workout. But we were talking about, what are you going to do with starting pitching and the number of guys that you have? are you going to have to maybe make more than one move in terms of starters? Not that I would say that a lot of the guys outside of Mackenzie Gore have a lot of value, but they've probably got, behind Mackenzie Gore, still 7, 8, 9 guys that could be vying for rotation spots. And it's not bad to have depth, but at the same point, is it worth maybe moving another guy or two, even if it's not getting premier talent, just to try and add into your farm system and continue to bulk that up? The other names that are interesting, I've seen talk about C.J. Abrams. I don't know what's going to happen there. I've advocated that maybe you just go ahead and move him because, again, timeline, and are you going to be able to sign him? But I am intrigued by his talent. I am intrigued by if you have the correct guys in that clubhouse, whether it's the manager, whether it's guys around him, to hold him accountable. I think that he can still be a spectacular talent. You've seen it. Not many shortstops in the game have his ability at the plate. Issue is, long term, I don't know that he is a shortstop. I think he's more a second baseman. I think he'd be a fantastic center fielder. They obviously don't need outfield depth, but that'll be another name to keep an eye on. Those are the two guys, though, that are worth significant amounts that could get moved this offseason. Mackenzie Gore, I'd say pretty likely. I wouldn't say as likely. I wouldn't say even over a 50% chance of C.J. Abrams getting moved, but I would say that that's something that they're going to explore. If they get the right value, they'll probably move potentially both of those guys this offseason. I want to dive into the Commanders. A tough season continues on. 3 more games left, and then you can get on to the next season. I want to take a quick look at where they're currently at in terms of draft position, the likelihood of them getting into the top 5, likelihood that they stay inside the top 10. Also, want to briefly talk about what we've seen from the team on Hard Knocks. Been really cool to see them on Hard Knocks. We'll talk to Mitch Tischler coming up at 7:15, but we'll dive into the Commanders next here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Overtime on The Fan, just over a week until Christmas. Crazy to think about. Toby Altizer taking you up until 10 o'clock. Mitch Tischler going to join us in about 10 minutes. Talking about the Commanders, we'll get to some of your phone calls in a little bit as well. But looking at draft position real quick, I do want to mention them on Hard Knocks as well, some of the takeaways. But looking at where they could potentially be drafting, so ESPN put together some of their FPI. They ran some simulations and whatnot of where they could be drafting. The Commanders currently are 7th in the NFL draft order at 4-10. If you look at their odds of where they're likely to draft and where they could potentially get to, their average draft position, according to ESPN and the simulations they ran, was 6.7. Their chance to earn a top 5 pick is just over a quarter, 25.7%, and their likelihood and chance to earn a top 10 pick is 98.1%. So they're likely to pick inside the top 10. They're probably not going to pick inside the top 5. You're probably looking somewhere in that 7-8 range, 6-7-8 range, somewhere in that range to be picking. And something I'd mentioned and will continue to mention, especially getting ready for the college football playoff coming up this weekend, a couple of these guys suiting up and playing. The thing that I'd be rooting for if I'm a fan of this team for the draft, I know a lot of people are obviously talking about losing out, and that's fine. Wanted to be able to trade down and those discussions, that's fine. But if you're rooting for something watching college football this weekend, the number one thing that I'd be rooting for, not necessarily, I know a lot of people around here like JMU, Virginia, I get all that, so I'm not saying root for JMU to lose, but you would like Dante Moore to play well. You'd like him to declare for the draft this year, quarterback for Oregon. You want to see him do well. You want to see Ty Simpson, the quarterback for Alabama, do well. Even if you don't want to see Alabama beat Oklahoma, which, I don't know, might be beneficial if they go on a long playoff run here and he can improve his draft stock. But regardless, those two guys in particular, you should be rooting for them because it can help out the Commanders, whether they could potentially find a suitor that wants to move up to their pick to draft one of those guys so they can trade down, or so that three quarterbacks go before their pick, pushing down guys that are better options for what the Commanders are looking at because they're not drafting a quarterback. So those are a couple of guys that I keep an eye out for. But just in case you're wondering where this team could be drafting, probably somewhere in that 6-7-8 range, the likelihood of where they're going to be drafting. Not likely to get inside the top five, but definitely likely to stay inside the top 10. But we saw the Commanders on episode 3 of Hard Knocks last night. Some cool things that you saw. Felt like they were a little bit more involved as the season's gone on. Obviously, not a lot going on positive for this team right now. But it is always cool to see your team and the behind the scenes. I know I'm kind of the minority on this. I'm not really that worried about if my team is on Hard Knocks. I don't really care. I actually kind of prefer other teams to be on it because I know, I would say, a lot of what the special stories of this team are. I know a lot of these guys versus I don't necessarily know what's going on with the Tennessee Titans last year. I don't necessarily know what's going on in the building in Cincinnati, those sorts of things. But it is cool to see your own insight. Guys that you know, seeing Bobby Johnson leading a offensive line meeting, seeing Zach Ertz sitting down with Ben Sinnott and going through some tape and some film and talking about some different things. I thought that was really cool. You know, for this team, I think the guy that has stood out and has been someone that they featured a couple episode two of this, and then seeing the injury with Zach Ertz and seeing him still being involved and around the team in this past episode that aired yesterday with him sitting down with Ben Sinnott going through some of the film, I think he comes off fantastic and looks great. I already knew that he was a fantastic guy. I already knew that he's a consummate professional. There's a reason that they went out and got him last year, and I don't know that there were a whole lot of people banging the drum saying that Zach Ertz was going to be as effective of a football player as he was on the field last year, but you understood that he was going to be a great leader in that locker room. You knew that he was going to be someone that could mentor the rest of the tight ends, and you saw that firsthand in this episode, which was really, really cool, on top of seeing how productive he's been in his time here. It was devastating to see the injury happened after he was already mic'd up and they were kind of didn't do a special on him, and hearing David Rye talk about how special of a guy he is to coach and comparing him to Larry Fitzgerald as two of the guys that he had the biggest privilege to coach in his time in the league. Really, really cool to see that. Zach Ertz looks fantastic. I did want to point out one thing because I saw our guy Earl Forsey talk about this, and he's not wrong, by the way. I want to find the exact tweet that he was talking about. But you look at the facilities from around this Hard Knocks, and it's not a surprise that Dallas looks fantastic. I actually think one of the stars of the series has been Brian Schottenheimer. I kind of thought he was a joke, and then seeing him in the series, I'm like, okay, I can kind of get behind Brian Schottenheimer being a head coach. Now he's a Cowboys head coach, so I'll never get behind him. I hope he always fails. I hope Nick Sirianni fails. I hope Mike Kafka fails. I can't stand the other teams in this division, so that aspect I can't stand, but getting to see how he operates, I can understand a little bit more of the vision, and he seems like a nice, genuine dude. But Earl tweeted, when they show the sad brown fields in Ashburn right after seeing that gorgeous Showplace facility in Frisco, Texas, I have been to the Star. I have seen the restaurants and the indoor facility. Matter of fact, I always talk about this. I've only been to one high school football game in Texas, and it was at the Star. It was Lone Star, Frisco Lone Star against, I can't remember what the school was, somewhere out of Denton, I think, in Denton, Texas. Not Denton Day, Denton, Texas. But it was the two guys that you were there to see, the two premier guys. On one side of the football with Denton was Anthony Hill, linebacker that ultimately went to Texas. And he's probably going to be a day two draft pick this year. I think at some point people were thinking he could be a first-round draft pick as a linebacker, but likely to be a day two guy, but a spectacular linebacker for the University of Texas. And the guy that was taken in the top 10 this year as a running back was on the other side, on Frisco's side, Lone Star, Ashton Gentry. Getting to see him in high school was really, really cool. So I've seen those facilities, and they are spectacular. I wish there was a way that that could be built out here around the practice facility. Seeing the restaurants constantly bringing in revenue, having high school football games every week at their indoor stadium practice facility is sick, right? It's like a mini stadium that they always have high school football games at. They hold the combine there for some of the other, not the traditional NFL combine, but they've had, I think, like a Big 12 combine where some guys have done, I think Shador was there, maybe the East-West Shrine stuff. Like, they do a lot of stuff there that is really, really cool, on top of the fact that there are a bunch of restaurants and gyms that just regular common folk can go to and drive around, and it's so cool. Like, I hate the Cowboys, so seeing all those images, seeing the star everywhere makes me want to puke, but seeing how cool everything is, the history, you know, you've got different numbers along the walk out there, 88 and 8 and 22 and those sorts of things to honor their legends. It's really, really cool. I wish there was a way that it could be out here. But he talks about the brown fields in Ashburn. I did want to defend the Commanders on one thing. I know it looks terrible. I promise you their fields aren't dead. Like, I know some people probably think, wow, gosh, the fields are brown? Is there grass all dead? It's not. I'm a golf nut, nerd, whatever you want to call it. That's Bermuda grass. That's what Bermuda grass looks like in the off season. It's why you'll see some golf tournaments that have Bermuda grass when they're holding golf tournaments around this time of the year or even into early April. They're overseeded with other types of grass, so it's actually green. But Bermuda grass, that's what it looks like when it's in the off season because it's a warm weather grass. And obviously, around here, I don't know if you've stepped outside recently, it's not very warm. So I can promise you that it's not dead. But the last thing I wanted to hit on before we get to Mitch Tischler coming up next, it was cool seeing Jaden Daniels handing out bikes on this last Hard Knocks and seeing his frustration with how this season has gone. And the frustration with the injuries is understandable. It's something he really can't control. It's not like he's done anything wild that has led to these injuries. It just, sometimes it doesn't go your way. Sometimes things happen. It's, unfortunately, it's a violent sport that injuries occur all the time, and you've seen that with Jaden this year. But seeing even just the frustration with the way that he's played and just all of that, this is a driven guy, and it gives me confidence to see how this season has played out, to see his demeanor through all of this. Still the same guy in terms of him as an individual, but it's eating at him that he hasn't been able to be on the football field more, and eating at him that he hasn't been able to create winning football when he's on the field. And I think seeing that behind the scenes, even in a environment where, you know, he's the star, he's handing out bikes to kids and everybody's telling him how great he is, everybody's wishing him well, even in that situation, he's still frustrated with how this season has gone and wondering what could have been and looking ahead to next year and how he can make this thing better and get this team back on track. All right, next, Mitch Tischler from Monumental Sports is going to join us, Beltway Football as well. Want to get his thoughts on the O-line. Want to get his thoughts on how this team can get back on track next year. Mitch Tischler from Monumental going to join us next here on The Fan. Welcome back. Overtime, 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer with you till 10 o'clock. It's time to get out to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Welcome in our friend Mitch Tischler, Beltway Football Podcast on Monumental. Mitch, what's going on? How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Can't complain. It's crazy. We're almost to Christmas. Unfortunately, last year we were talking about winning football. This year, not so much. What are you made of this season? And what do you make of how this season has played out in terms of, is it an injury thing? Is it more than an injury thing? Is it something that you can see them being right back on track next season? What have you made as a season as a whole?
I don't know if we have enough time on radio to go through everything. But to be honest, I listen, the injury part certainly plays into it. I think it's something easy to grasp onto. But I think there are a lot of issues that started much earlier in the season than that. And quite frankly, it's tough because, you know, this group, both front office and coaching staff and group of players, earned the benefit of the doubt based on going to the NFC Championship game last year. So the fact that, you know, training camp did look a little easy, they didn't play a lot in the preseason, things looked disjointed as we got into the season, they deserve the right to have that benefit. And it's hard to criticize them when they went and did as much as they did last year. But the problem with it is once you have kind of a light preseason, then more or less you're treating the first couple games of the season, 2, 3, 4 games, as if it is the preseason. And ultimately, by the time that they realized and everyone realized that there was a major problem here, you know, you were 7, 8 games into the season in the middle of a losing streak. You know, things were going south. And at that point, it's really hard to pull yourself out of it. So, you know, I think it's hindsight is 2020 to complain about the preseason, but you can see how kind of everything leading up to it kind of built on itself and became this giant snowball gaining speed rolling downhill.
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at it and you're right. They deserve the benefit of the doubt with how everything went, but it's, you got to think that there are going to be changes in the preseason next year in training camp and how they go about things. So with the Jaden Daniels shutdown, I want to ask you specifically about, you know, whether that's the right decision or not, but next year going into it, you know, he seems like a rhythm guy to me, Mitch, and someone that as he plays with more time working with the guys, it's something that builds. Not that any quarterback isn't, but specifically with him, he seems like a rhythm guy. How do they build that rhythm next year? Is it just simply go a little bit more harder in training camp next year? Is it something play him some in the preseason and then he'll just be right back on track by, you know, week 3, week 4, where he's kind of back to the guy that we saw last year as he went on and played a little bit more last season and got to the point that he was one of the top quarterbacks in the sport? Or did you see some stuff this year, other than the injuries, obviously, but did you see some stuff the year that maybe a little bit worried about him going forward?
I'm not worried about him going forward per se, but based on how good last year was and how poor this year was, I think there's some real questions. It's going to make the start of next year, you know, there's going to be a hyper-focus on Jaden and, you know, what he does. And, you know, quite frankly, I do think it starts with getting them more time together on the practice field and getting a little bit more physical in training camp, but being smart about it. And I think that physicality you have to also look at in the preseason a little bit more. It was something that, you know, I was frustrated with in the preseason was the lack of playing. And, you know, you can look around the league and say, well, every other team does it, but just because it's the norm doesn't mean it's right. And, you know, obviously, you know, you deal with the potential injury if you do play guys out there. But I do think it's important to get guys in a rhythm, particularly with how jaunty kind of the off-season schedule is. You know, that extra week off now at the end of training camp before the season starts, you know, can really throw things off. And what I didn't like last year was they played in the second preseason game, the starters did for a drive, and then didn't play for almost a month until that first game of the season. It was 3.5 weeks. That's a long time to not be on the field in game rhythm as you're trying to build yourself up. And I think, you know, that's something that, you know, this coaching staff and front office need to change, but I think it's something that needs to be very intentional because you've seen DQ talk about the plan and the process and how he has an individual plan for players. But I think they need to look a little big picture about, you know, it's not just getting, you know, player A into shape. It's also about getting the team, you know, game ready early in the season. And that way you can get a real assessment early on about where they are and then ultimately make adjustments if needed.
Talking with Mitch Tischler of Monumental Sports, Beltway Football Podcast as well. Me and you, I think, were in lockstep on the Terry McLaurin situation. I think we were both maybe two of the louder ones advocating. He needed to be paid and get the deal done before training camp, get it as done as quickly as possible. And obviously we know how it played out and how this season has gone. How much do you think that played in? Not necessarily with Terry being injured. I think that was a discussion we've had plenty, whether that's the cause, who knows, you can't directly prove it, but we've seen that happen plenty of times. But how much do you think that specific situation, whether it was Terry not being around the team, whether it's the frustration maybe from other players of them looking at the situation, how much do you think that played into some of what's happened this season?
Yeah, I think that it's certainly something that fans like to glom onto because it's an easy data point, but I think it's one data point of very, very many of where this thing went wrong. And I think it starts with, you know, how things went in the offseason, both with adding players and then also with the negotiations with Terry. Then by the time Terry came back, you were already on the back end of camp when guys, you know, the starters weren't playing nearly as much and practices were getting a little bit shorter. So I do think that it played a role, but in terms of, you know, ranking where it is, to me, it's not nearly as high as some of the front office and coaching decisions. But it's going to be something that's important that everybody learns from, you know, the coaching staff, kind of how to integrate a player coming in late, because you can never guess when something like this is going to happen again. And then also for the front office to figure out how to get these deals done, you know, whether if you want to try and blame it on, you know, the agent, go ahead. But at the end of the day, almost every player has an agent. You're going to have some difficult negotiations along the way. And quite frankly, you know, I think Laremy Tunsil shouldn't be too difficult of a discussion, but it is a very similar situation to Terry McLaurin, where you have an aging player who is under contract but doesn't have any guaranteed money and is going to want something new. And, you know, you have to question, you know, how much are you willing to go? And I hope that Adam Peters and Lance Newmark and everyone on down kind of learned a lot from that negotiation and they get on top of it early and are able to get something done.
You mentioned Tunsil there. How good has he been this season? It feels like, you know, we've talked about Jaden and some of the injuries and stuff, and some people will call in and talk about the O-line not being good enough, and I don't agree with that, especially with Tunsil. He's been fantastic. What have you made of his season this year?
Yeah, I think the O-line overall has been pretty good. I think it's been steadily building, and I think part of that is, you know, Sam Cosby missing the early part of the season and having Josh Connerly, you know, finding a new role over there on the right side, but it's gotten better as the season's gone on. But the one consistent has been Laremy Tunsil. I mean, he has been so good. And, you know, I think the less that we hear an offensive lineman's name, the better, you know, that guy is playing. And I think the fact that we, you know, haven't heard his name too often, he obviously has a couple of those penalties that people were all concerned about. But for all the concern about, you know, his ability to block in the run game, I mean, I think that's just, he's put that to bed. He's been extremely good. If not, you know, he's a top 3 to 5 left tackle in the NFL. And I don't think there shouldn't be a whole lot of, you know, disagreement from folks on that.
On the flip side, what have you made of Connerly?
I think Connerly's gotten better week by week. You know, certainly early on in the season, he faced some elite rushers at a new position, you know, having to learn to kick step to the opposite side. Also working with, you know, a temporary guard sitting next to him. I think that you've seen as Cosme has come back and gotten more healthy, I think that's also helped Connerly a whole lot. And I really like what I've seen from him. I have no worries about what he's going to be, you know, moving forward or in the future. I think, you know, this offensive line, if they're able to get a Tunsil deal done, Chris Paul is a free agent, but, you know, if they're able to bring him back or, you know, if it ends up being Brandon Coleman, whichever the mix ends up being, I think this will go back to being one of, if not the strongest units on the team.
Talking with Mitch Tischler from Monumental. On the offensive side, you look at their rushing numbers, and overall they're a good rushing offense, one of the top in the league. But it doesn't always feel that way, Mitch. Maybe it's because it's so much quarterback run. And what do you make of their run game? And to me, it feels like going into next year with Jaden to help him out even more. I was talking with Grant about this earlier. There are other quarterbacks in the league that 10, 15 times a game, it feels like they can turn their brain off for a play and just have a mental break where they can take the snap, hand it off to their running back, and they have that play off to an extent, right? Like, obviously, you're never turning your brain off as a quarterback, but being able to kind of just turn around and hand it to the running back. And they can do that to an extent, but is there a way that they can have a more consistent run game, whether it's, is it Cliff that is maybe not calling enough run plays and sticking with it? Is it they don't fully trust their running backs in the back room that they have right now? Like, how do they get that run game going next year to help Jaden out even more?
It's funny, you know, we're through 14 games, and they've run the ball 401 times this season and thrown the ball 401 times. So at the end of the day, they have been even, however, it has been inconsistent because those rushing numbers are buoyed by, you know, multiple 200-yard games, you know, where they've looked really, really good, and then at times they've looked really, really bad. You know, I think there's a lot of it is the inconsistency at running back. You know, I don't want to relitigate old arguments, but I think that's why having a consistent guy like Brian Robinson back in that backfield would have been useful for this team. I think Bill obviously had a couple of good games early on in the season, but ultimately, you have Eckler who had an injury situation. Bill was brand new. C-Rod didn't have a ton of experience. J-Mac isn't necessarily an every down back per se. So I think, they were kind of trying to figure it out on the fly, and it goes back to, the work that they could have or should have gotten in the preseason, where you can get a better idea of kind of who your bell cow is going to be. Now, obviously they had a big role for Austin Eckler and he got hurt early, but I don't know that they really knew what they had behind them. And, again, it goes back to everything kind of being a snowball and building on itself. You don't get the work, as much work as you like in the preseason with your running backs, to get a feel with the first team who fits in where and who does what well. And then you get into the season, Eckler gets hurt, and then all of a sudden, you're searching for answers along the way instead of having a pretty good idea. And part of what makes all that frustrating is that you had all this carryover from last season. So you had, a bank of knowledge, and they just weren't able to adjust and get to a good place, quick enough. And I think we've seen this thing kind of bounce back and forth, good, bad, snip, snap, snip, snap, as Michael Scott would say.
Final question for you, Mitch. Defensively, going into next year, how fixable is it? Is it get a new defensive coordinator, or Dan Quinn continues to call the plays and obviously prioritize edge rusher, find another corner, or, make the additions they need to this offseason? Is it something that we go into next year thinking, okay, this is a maybe middle of the pack, top half of the league right there in that 12 to 15 range defense, or is this something that's going to take a couple years to build up?
I mean, honestly, I think if you add a dynamic pass rusher to this group, that can change things immediately. Ultimately, I mean, kind of big picture, what I've said a lot about this team is that they hoped for the best but never planned for the worst. And I think you saw that, particularly on defense with kind of the lack of true depth. And granted, obviously a lot of defensive players were picked under Ron Rivera and have gone elsewhere, but I think, as much as the one-year signings hit last season, they didn't hit this season. And so I think there needs to be a aim to get younger, to get a little bit quicker, faster. And ultimately, there's nobody on this defense right now that opposing offensive coordinators have to game plan for. And you need a guy like that. You need a stud. And whether that's the draft or going big dollar in free agency, whatever it may be, I think they need to. That's the big thing that I think you need to look at on defense, is just adding more playmakers, guys who impact the game, at an elite level. So to me, it is something that can get turned around. But a lot of this defense was predicated on the offense being a top five offense in the NFL, and when that went away, the defense wasn't able to respond. And so as I look at next year moving forward, I want to see a more aggressive defense. I don't want to see a defense that's built to respond to an offense being great. I want to see a defense that's built to be able to, get some stops on their own.
Mitch, appreciate the time. Hope you have a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays, man.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me, bud.
That's Mitch Tischler. He joined us on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. You can check him out on the Beltway Football Podcast with our own JP Finley. They do a fantastic job breaking down the team. I want to talk about the run game, something that I just mentioned with Mitch, and how this team can help Jaden out next year, because I do think that is something they have to do. I don't know that they drastically need to change the way that Jaden plays. I don't think that they drastically need to change the offensive line. Like I mentioned, I think the O-line has actually been pretty good this season overall. Connerly's grown as the season's gone on. Cosme struggled when he first came back. He's gotten better. Tunsil's been fantastic. It's not like it's been a top five unit, but I definitely don't think it's been a bad unit at all. Like, if they go back into next year with this unit, I actually think that it's a plus. But how do they get this thing going a little bit easier for Jaden and take a little bit off of his plate? I think the answer is the run game. I want to break that down for you next. 800-636-1067. If you'd like to hop in, I think the run game is important. What do you think for next season? How do they help Jaden Daniels out? Again, 800-636-1067. You're listening to Overtime on The Fan. I think whoever's singing this has a future in music. I think she's pretty good. I think she'll make it. I think she might be pretty popular one day, selling tickets that are costing like $1,000 to fill up 80,000 seat stadiums. I think she's going to be pretty popular. I think she'll make it.
Think she may end up being more famous than her sports star boyfriend?
Probably. I don't think this is better than the original, but it's probably number two to me. But I think she's pretty good. I think this Swift girl might make it. I was cracking up. We did a segment on Grant and Danny a while back. It was fantastic. It was after the Jaden injury. Dan Quinn, the day after, was like, man, I missed it. You know, I should have pulled. I missed it. And we did a segment the next day of, where have you missed it? And some guy, Chris, called in and said, yeah, I had an opportunity to see this young country singer girl at some festival. And I was like, screw that. I'm not going. I would have seen Taylor Swift. Pretty cool to see Taylor Swift that early. Missed the opportunity.
One of my buddies had lived in the Seattle area with his parents, and then he moved out here. We were still in like high school and stuff. And his parents apparently lived in the same neighborhood as Bill Gates, who had gone door to door asking for donations for his startup company, Microsoft. They did not donate.
Yeah.
Probably should have invested in that. Like, who would think this, you know, this geeky kid coming around with the thick glasses and stuff was actually going to be the richest guy they'd ever known? But so they missed that one.
Yeah, we've all had some missed opportunities that we regret. We've all had those. 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. Talking about the Commanders, enough Taylor Swift talk. We're not talking Travis Kelce. We're not talking Taylor Swift. Enough of that. We're talking about the Washington Commanders. Jaden Daniels. How do they help this guy out next year? How do they help him out? You look at the offense and, you know, the discussion about this is injuries and are you worried about him? We'll dive into some of those things a little bit later. But I don't know that they're fully doing enough to help him out. And I've laid this out the last couple of times that I've had the opportunity to crack the mic here. When I look at how last season ended with their offense, with Cliff, with the way that they were calling the games, they didn't have a run game the second half of last year. They just didn't. They weren't able to run the football outside of the Tennessee game. They weren't able to run the football with anyone other than Jaden Daniels with any sort of efficiency. And so that's why I didn't have an issue moving on from B-Rob and those sorts of things. They needed to do something different at the running back position. They needed to do something different so that they could run the football. And I feel like some of that is carried over to this year, and the stats of how good they are as a rushing offense are a little bit misleading. Like, I'm saying run the football. Well, they're fourth in rushing yards this year, just behind the Bills, Bears, and Ravens. They're sixth in yards per carry. They're eighth in attempts. A lot of those are coming from quarterbacks, though. Mariota.
Or Debo, who's technically a wide receiver.
Sure. A lot of those are coming from guys who aren't their running backs. I don't think they have to vanilla run an offense that just is 1940s wishbone or I formation. I'm not saying that. But I do think getting a run game where Jaden can take a play off, not only is he able to mentally reset for a play, he's able to just physically be out of the play. He's not a part of it. It's funny because I watched the second Eagles game last year, and in the second half of that game, he showed me that he can be Superman. He showed me that he can go win a game almost entirely by himself. That's great. I'm glad that I know he has that in the bag. I don't need him to do that all the time. Matter of fact, I don't want him to do that all the time because when he starts trying to go hero mode, I think you saw a little bit of that this year. I think that's not necessarily what led to the injuries, but I think it's partially what led to some of the things that Kurt Warner was criticizing him about earlier this season, not taking layups, not getting the ball to the check down, being a little bit slow on things, running when maybe he could throw the ball, those sorts of things. And I'm not worried about, oh, Jaden's just not that guy. I'm not worried about that. I'm working under the premise that they have their franchise quarterback and a guy that could and probably hopefully will lead them to a Super Bowl one day. It's just been a bad year, in my opinion. Whatever you want to look at and break down, whatever you want to call, like, that's fine. I understand those things. But they have to help this guy out some. They have to be able to run the football where you look at Lamar, right? He's the guy that everyone compares him to, understandably so, frame, style of play. Think of Lamar and how much easier it is for Lamar to just turn around and hand the ball off to Derrick Henry, where he runs for almost 2,000 yards. How many of those plays is Lamar even involved in? Not to say that they never run a read option, not to say they're not running RPOs with Derrick Henry, but I'd have to venture at least 7, 8, 9, 10 times a game. The only option of the play is halfback dive to 22. Turn around, hand it to Henry. If it's not the right look, audible, I get that. But against the right look, turn around, hand the ball off. There's not a whole lot of that in this offense, it doesn't feel like. Or that leads to an effectiveness. Or that Cliff is willing to call. I want to be able to have this offense run the football so that Jaden doesn't have to be Superman all the time. That's what I want. I think that helps out. You're worried about injuries. I'm not as worried as some people are about Jaden's durability and those sorts of things, although this year has been troubling with the number of injuries we've seen. But don't have everything be on his plate. Don't even give him the option of having to read the defensive end or having to decide if it's an RPO and whether he should throw the football. You should be able to turn around and hand it off and run it. I sound like I'm 75 pleading for this team to go to the I format. I'm not. But I do think there is something to be said for being able to just run the football. Look at the Bills this year. Look at how good Josh Allen is. We all know how good he is. He won the MVP last year. Do they ask him to be Superman from the word go? No. Look at this game against the Patriots. Fantastic game. One of the games of the year. They were able to run the football. And when Josh Allen needed to pull the cape out late in that ball game, he pulled the cape out and went and won it. That's what I want for Jaden. That was the whole discussion about the Terry thing. Oh, he can get it done with subpar weapons. I agree with you. Doesn't mean that's how I want to live. That's not what I want him to have to do all the time. I don't want him to have to drive in fifth gear all the time. I want him to be able to take his foot off the gas sometimes. And when it's time to put pedal to the metal, put the pedal to the metal. And I think he understands how that works. I think he understands that paradigm. Unfortunately for him, because of how this season has gone, because some of the injuries, because of where this season went and the record and things, I think for him, he felt like he had to put pedal to the metal a little bit too much this year. Take a little off his plate by being able to run the football, whether that means going and getting a legit running back that you feel great about, like a Saquon, not that they can go get Saquon, but someone that they're like, hey, I can hand the ball off to this guy 20 times and we're good. Or just trust the guys you have. Chris Rodriguez, I think, can get it done. Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, I think, can get it done. They're going to tell you they trust them. I think if you watch the games, they don't always trust them. They're telling you by the way they call plays, they don't always trust them. They need to be able to run the football next year to help Jaden out. 800-636-1067. We're running a little bit behind, but I do want to get to some of your phone calls next. 800-636-1067. I think they got to get the run game going next year. What are some other things that you want to see this team do to help Jaden Daniels out for next season? Also want to dive into Jaden specifically at 8 o'clock. Do you see anything this year that made you worried about him going forward? We'll talk about that as well as my thought on the run game next here on The Fan. Overtime, 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer taking you up until 10 o'clock this evening. 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. Talking about Jaden Daniels, what do you want to see the team do to help him out next season? Or what do you want to see him do to help himself out next season? 800-636-1067. I've advocated run the football a little bit more or find an effective run game that isn't fully dependent on him. You know, I think they run a lot of read options, and I actually don't think he's very good at those. It's funny because I think that was something he was good at LSU, but I think he's kind of struggled. RPOs, I think he's been fine at. But the true read option where you're just reading the end and deciding whether to keep it or hand it off, I think he's kind of poor at. That's why Mariota seems to come in and do those a lot better. But I think finding a way to just have the running game be effective without him really being a key cog in it, I think would be a big help to him in terms of being effective as a quarterback, but also staying healthy next season. Andy's in Sterling. Andy, what's going on?
Hey, Kobe. Happy holidays to you and Heavy Metal.
Thank you, sir. You as well?
Thank you, brother. Concerning Jaden, last time I spoke to you was just before the NFL draft. I think that was the last time I spoke to you. And you were high on Caleb Williams. And at the time, I said adamantly that they have to draft Drake May. I would have gone with Jaden, but I saw a lot of his football at LSU. I saw how he got knocked around like a rag doll on many occasions by SEC powerhouses, Alabama, whoever. We now see where Drake May is ascending because he's got an NFL body. He's got that big build. The best thing that the Commanders can do with Jaden in the offseason is make sure he hits that weight room and puts on at least 20 pounds. Otherwise, going into next season, he's going to have the same problem. He was blessed that first season and escaped injury. We saw what happened the second year. I'm telling you, if they don't address that and they don't get him another reliable number one receiver, or at least a legitimate number two, he's going to get killed again. I would actually like to know, you didn't want to put any blame on Terry McLaurin, but when I knew, when he went into those protracted negotiations with Peters over there, I said that was the beginning of the end. This was going to start the roller coaster. I would love to know what Jaden's mom thinks of Terry McLaurin today. I guarantee you she's not happy with him. And, you know, for all that talk about teamwork and, you know, we're, you know, this culture and everything, man, it came down to the Bucks, man. And in the end, he settled for what he originally turned down earlier. So, you know what? I don't want to give any kudos to Terry McLaurin. I think Jaden did the best with what he had, a bunch of no-name receivers, a running game that was not consistent, a defense that could not hold the opposition, and then you had the injuries pile on, and it was a lost season. All right, man.
Appreciate it, Andy. So he hit on a lot of things there. So a couple of things. We'll start with the Jaden topic to stay on what we've been talking about. He wants him to add 20 pounds of muscle. I would love for him to add 20 pounds as well. I don't know that that's realistic. I don't know that it is. And I also... So here's
he goes on enough of these remotes with us, he'll start putting on weight. We eat well at these things, generally.
Yeah, come with us on Friday. We're out at Pupitella in Leesburg. Maybe we can have Jaden come out. We won't have him as a guest or anything, but just have a few pizzas with us. What do you think of that?
Oh, yeah, they'll fatten him up. You know they would.
Have him out there at a couple of the different stops. Yeah, for sure. If he had some of the food that we've been having, 100%, he'll put on some weight. Now, I don't know that it's going to be 20 pounds of muscle. I could find some ways to add some weight. I don't think it's the type of weight that we want Jaden gaining. But regardless, it's an interesting thing to look at with Jaden. And you can kind of see either direction, I think. And I think probably most people are somewhere in the middle on this. But you can look at it and say, well, he's always hurt now, looking at what the injuries were this season, looking at the injury last season with the rib. And then the other side is, well, he hasn't had any major injuries. He had the rib thing last year. He's able to play through that. He had the knee thing early this season. Wasn't really able to play through it, but came back in a reasonable time frame. Hamstring injury, and then now the elbow injury. He hasn't sustained anything major. No ACLs, no broken bones that are going to require, you know, months of rehab and those sorts of things. So you can kind of see either side. You can say, well, yeah, he's been banged up and there's been some durability issues, but at the same point, he's kind of avoided the major injury. Or you can look at it and say he's missed a lot of time, or he's constantly been not playing at 100%. But I don't know that I'm overly worried about the injuries. I understand the trepidation and frustration and little bit worrisome, I would say, but I think I'm in the minority, or maybe in the camp that I'm less worried about the injuries, but I do understand people's worries about that. With the McLaurin thing that he'd mentioned, I don't blame him for the situation. Obviously, I was on Team Terry in the situation there. Frankly, the blame is shared, in my opinion, on that. The blame is shared across the board. Everybody needed to do stuff differently, and it frankly didn't work out. And now you've kind of seen where you're at. It's just didn't work out. Hopefully things are different next season. 800-636-1067. Want to continue talking about Jaden. When you look at this season, did your opinion on Jaden change? Did it change drastically? Or is it just one of those, yep, it's a bad year, a couple years, we look back and go, yeah, remember that season where Jaden struggled? Yep, that was just kind of a blip on the radar. 800-636-1067, you're listening to Overtime on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.